Welcome to the Connection Point Podcast through the ministry of First Southern Baptist Church, Salina, Kansas, where we aim to connect you to God, to others, and to the church. Hey, listeners, welcome to episode 6 of the Connection Point Podcast. It's good to be with you guys. I'm your host, Tyler Ball, and I have a special treat for you today. Today we have a guest, Dr. Brad Irvin. How are you doing?
Not too bad. If by special treat you mean a slightly less better looking host than you're used to, then you are indeed in for a special treat.
The good thing, they can't see through this, so they can only hear. But our voices sound a little similar, so we'll have to, if you could speak maybe 2 octaves higher to separate our voices.
We'll be talking about Jesus.
That's going to do it. Nailed it.
All right. Good.
But anyways, it is good to see you guys. If you remember, we started our worship series looking at different words and the doctrines behind them, the theology behind them. We looked at creation in our last episode. I hope that was helpful to you and drove you to an affection that is deep for God and a worship for Him. And we're coming together today to talk about another word. I love being with Brad. Should I call you Dr. Irvin the whole time, or can I call you Brad?
You can call me Brad.
Brad? Okay, that's good. Brad, we like to talk about theology, don't we?
We do. We enjoy it a lot, and I think I was very happy to find that about you, because I think often sometimes people find my enthusiasm for talking about theology a little tedious. So
we enjoy it. If you guys want to talk theology, stop by Chili's sometime during the week. We're probably there talking theology.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Three, so, yeah, at least
3 for $10.
Yeah, so, at least once a week. So
right, 3 for $10, we get chips, drink, wings, and theology.
Yeah, I thought you were joking before about the product placement, but yeah, well, I guess we're doing that.
Dude, advertising.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they should sponsor us now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that'll be next.
That'll be next. Yeah. As we grow, that's our next thing, right? Yeah, so it is good to have you here. Now, as we talk about theology, there are things that we don't always agree on. Would you agree about that part?
Absolutely. And I think you're going to get that. I don't think you could find 2 godly men in the world that agree on every single little piece of theology.
Absolutely. I think we know without a doubt that we love God, and our desire is to know Him and know who He truly is, right?
Absolutely.
Which is, we would say, is vital, not just for us, but for the church. As we raise disciples and come out of the church, we need to accurately know who God is so that we can rightly live the way He's called us to.
Yep, I would agree. And you know, I would say I've had some of my best conversations over things with people that I have the biggest disagreements with.
Right.
Or even people I agree with most things on. It's the ones where we don't that tend to be the most interesting to talk about too. So that's always nice to get 2 people that come from a little different perspective.
Yeah. I think it's great. Proverbs 27:17, right? Sharpening iron.
Absolutely.
Friends sharpening iron, which is a good thing. Now, little side note, we agree on all the, what do you want to call them? The necessities of the Christian faith. Absolutely. You know, there's, as far as salvation and the things we're going to talk about today, we're together on those. There's just some other things that we see things a little different.
Yes, if you were hoping to listen today to hear me defend Tiku the monkey god, that will not be the case.
That will not be happening
yes,
today.
We
just to be clear, that's off the table.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me edit my notes. Just kidding, man. All right. So here we go. The word today, justification. Beautiful word.
Very beautiful word.
Beautiful word. So let's start from the basics. If I asked you, what does justification mean? Not even looking at its implications or anything like that. If you had to define justification, what are you saying?
So I think for most people listening, the easiest way to get your mind wrapped around what justification is when you ask somebody, when were you saved? Are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus? Those types of things. What you're asking about is justification.
Justification
is that moment when you go from being a child of Adam, lost in your sin, to a child of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ.
Absolutely. That's a great definition. So really, when we talk about justification, we're talking about our salvation. And what you guys are going to see is we're going to use some words as we look at the full picture of salvation. We've got words like justification, imputation, sanctification, glorification, and we're going to get to all those
during this podcast series. As a matter of fact, Dr. Brad, not speaking for you, but would love to have you join me on all those for the next few times as we take this salvation journey together. If you're okay with that.
Oh, I would love that. Like I said, I like talking theology, so you even open the door a little bit for me, and I'll be in here.
Slam, you're right, you're going through the door,
yeah,
yes?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yes. That is awesome, yeah. And I think your great definition about that, I was reading in a theology book by Norman Geisler, who is a pretty kind of in the middle guy as far as theology. And he says, it's an act of God by which we who are unrighteous in ourselves, which is important, are nevertheless righteous before God. It is a judicial act of pronouncing one to be right in God's sight. So we could say that we are entering the courtroom today. I mean, is that
yes.
a good scene for us today?
Yes, and the Bible actually uses that scene too.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, it's towards the end of Romans 8 when it talks about who can bring any condemnation against the elect of God.
Yes.
I mean, what it's asking is it's set up this courtroom scene where God is asking a Paul is asking a rhetorical question. Mm-hmm. It's God who's asking it in the metaphor, but
right.
Who can bring a charge of condemnation against these people that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus? And the answer is nobody. So once you have that justification, there's nothing more that can be said. Anything wrong, bad, sinful for you has been completely covered over by the blood of Christ.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
If that doesn't completely wreck our hearts and our minds,
oh, yeah.
we're not thinking of justification in the right light.
Yeah.
You know, that's absolutely incredible. It's a beautiful word for us. Yeah, and I think about all my shortcomings. And obviously, we don't use justification as an excuse to sin. We see that in Romans as well, where there's By no means, right? as Paul's saying, so all these good things in Christ, justification included, should we then continue on sinning because its grace abounds? By no means, right?
Means,
I mean,
yeah.
A proper view of justification should drive us to a life of worship and holiness.
And I wouldn't just say should. I would say inevitably will.
Yes.
You can see that. Let's see. I wrote it down in my my verses here. Romans 5:9. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. I don't think that was a verse I wanted actually.
That's a good verse.
Yeah, it's a great verse. But
I know what you're saying. Yes.
So we will. A changed heart will go on to. Show the love of God.
Right.
Children of God act different than children of Adam do.
Sure.
Fallen children of Adam.
Absolutely. And you should, I guess, would convey a little bit, if I say should act that way, for a good self-evaluation. That should be the norm of the Christian life. If that's not, a hard look into ourselves, whether we have truly belonged to God.
Absolutely. Okay. There was an example I used in one of the sermons I got to preach for our sermon class, because it's real, it can be real tricky and difficult when you're talking about how works interplays with salvation.
Big tension point. Yes, yeah. I'd agree.
We absolutely, with unequivocal, no waffling here at all, would say that works have no place in earning your salvation.
Absolutely.
When it comes to your justification, works right out of there.
No, absolutely.
No works.
Nice sound effect.
Thank you.
Yep.
I was talking to you about that before. We'll see if I can come up with some other words for it too. and with some of the other words we'll get to later with the sanctification, that's where we'll probably start talking about works a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you see that difficulty if you read. You start read the first couple chapters of Ephesians, and then you read through James, and
James,
it seems like
they seem to contradict. Yeah. They don't, but yes.
Yeah, so anyways, before I got off my rabbit trail.
That's all right, yeah. Bring it back.
The example I would use is that it's like a fire. So if you're you're lost in a cold and frozen tundra, you're going to start a fire to save your life. Now, it's that actual fire that saves your life and keeps you warm. It's the light and heat that comes from the fire.
Right.
Now, that fire is naturally going to produce smoke. And so the fire is like it's the change in our heart. It's the Holy Spirit coming into us. Mm-hmm. But when we have that fire, the smoke is like the works. And so from a long ways off, you might not necessarily be able to see the fire. Maybe sure. It's hidden behind a mountain or a snow cap or whatever.
Right.
But you can see that those works rising into the air.
The smoke, yeah.
Yeah. And so people would be able to look to that and say, oh, look, there is a life-saving fire. Now, you can have smoke without fire. You can make like a smoke bomb. Mm-hmm. But if you're dying of frostbite in a tundra, smoke bomb's not going to help you
right.
at all. Just like your works are going to be as useless to saving you as a smoke bomb in a tundra.
That's great. Smoke bomb in a tundra, man. That's good. Tough. Good imagery. That's great, man. That's why I brought you on, man. You got such good things to share. So appreciate you being here, man. Well, it's good.
I try to stay humble, but Lord knows it's hard.
Yeah. So justification, the saving work of God, the declaring righteous even amidst of our filth. So let me ask you, what brings about justification?
I guess it would depend on which direction you're coming from. Mm-hmm. Justification is when we would put on the righteousness of Christ to cover our sinfulness. And this will get into another word I know you're planning on yep. talking about eventually, the imputation.
Imputation, yes.
Which is basically we get all the credit for Christ's righteousness and he gets all the blame for our sinfulness.
That blows my mind.
Yeah. Colossally, universally, apocalyptically unfair.
Right. There's nothing fair about that at all.
No.
And who in their right mind would take that?
Yeah.
That bargain.
I think, you know, a lot of times people don't necessarily like to talk about sin very much.
Sure.
And how bad we are. And I get it, you know, it's uncomfortable to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But it makes the grace and what God has done so much sweeter when you really understand you know, what a mean estate, to borrow from the old hymn
we were
in before. It's just I think it's something that will continue to blow your mind more and more as you grow in knowledge and faith and love of the Lord.
Absolutely, man. And as I get older, the number of my sins go up with my years, and just absolutely floored that Jesus loved us so much to do that. And we know when we talk about justification, it is by grace through faith alone. I mean, we've talked about our works, how that's not there. Anything to expand on how important that is. I think of Abraham in Genesis 15:6, and it said that Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. So mm-hmm. Through grace, through faith alone. The question is there any other way to justification? I know your answer,
yeah.
But expand on that for a minute.
Yeah, and I would say no.
Yep.
There is one way to justification mm-hmm. And to salvation, and that is through Christ Jesus.
Right.
The justification that comes through the imputation of his righteousness mm-hmm. To us.
Right.
I would say that every person in your Bible that was saved, that was justified before God, was done so by the same way. Mm-hmm. It was through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people would raise the question, well, how could you be saved by Jesus before he even came to the earth?
Good question. Let's talk about that.
And I would say that you know, that's what we would say the Bible is Christocentric. Which means Christ is at the center of it. Everything that happens before him is pointing towards him.
Yep.
Everything that happens after is pointing back to him.
Yes.
And so it's the faith in the Messiah that saves you.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, post-resurrection, it's faith in the risen Jesus.
Yes.
It's been realized. We know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
For your Old Testament saints, so your anyone from Abel up to, I think, was it Zechariah? Was he the last prophet that was martyred, I think? I'd have to double-check that. Mm-hmm. But any in there, they were saved by their faith in the coming Messiah.
Right.
And you can see that in what's called the Proto-Evangelion, very beginning of Genesis, right after the fall, when it talks about how God was going to crush the head of the serpent.
Yes.
And you know, you read through that and you can see that very first picture of Jesus and the promise of salvation, and the people that believed in that promise were saved by the imputation of Christ's righteousness to themselves. The same way us, having the benefit of living post-resurrection, believe in the promise and are saved the same way all the way through.
Absolutely. And we even see a foreshadow of the sacrifice being made to, when you talk about imputation, we're talking more of clothing in. You know, I think of Adam and Eve, how after their sin, they are clothed with animal skins. You know, we see we see a foreshadowing of the spilling of blood. I mean, obviously an animal's life had to be lost to clothe them, that would eventually cover them or impute on them. And in the Old Testament, you have all the Old Testament sacrifices, very bloody going through. And then you get to the New Testament, and the precious blood of Jesus Christ is now what clothes us, or has been imputed us, the righteousness in Him.
And just when you said that now, I just thought, what a neat picture that is with the animal skins, because after the fall, the animals were killed, their blood was shed, and the people were covered in the animal skins. Very first thing that happens in the Bible, very last thing that happens in the Bible, the saints are given robes that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, and it talks about them being white and linen. And so that's a neat picture that I never thought about until right this second when you said that.
See, that's so cool.
And so you've got the contrast in the dead animal that you're being covered in for the after the fall, and the clean white linen at the end.
Again, the Bible being Christocentric, centering around Christ from the very moment we read Genesis all the way to Revelation.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely incredible. That's good. So justification, and this is where we want to start talking a little bit about our natural state before Christ a little bit. But my question for you is, where does justification, those who've been saved, where does it pick up the sinner? And what place does it pick up the sinner? And where does it bring them into when we talk about justification?
So the first place I would start is, same way I would say all Protestants would start with, Martin Luther would start with the five solas. We know that we are saved by faith and by grace through faith alone. Mm-hmm. That the Scripture is the only infallible source of God's Word alone.
Yep.
We're saved by Christ alone, and everything is for the glory of God alone.
Yes.
The next place I would go to is talking about something called total depravity.
Mm-hmm.
And so what this means, and you'll see this throughout the Bible when it talks about our good works being tainted. Any good work we do is like a dirty rags. Mm-hmm. I did not write down which verse that is, if you remember it off the top of your head.
I don't, but okay, I know what you're talking about, and it's always funny. I could always joke with the author. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
So our good works, filthy rags. Yeah. Yes. Not a good picture.
Yeah. Romans 1, and I believe was where it talks about the carnal man is unable to please God.
Mm-hmm.
That's because everything you do that tries to be good, it's going to be tainted with your own self-interest.
Uh-huh.
And so this total depravity, we would differentiate this from what's what would be called absolute depravity.
Uh-huh.
So a total depravity, you could think about if you have a glass of water and you drop a drop of poison in there.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't separate out any part of that water and drink it and be safe.
Right.
Every part of that water is going to be tainted by poison.
Yes.
Now that's going to be different than utter depravity, I think is the right way to say that.
Utter depravity.
And that would be just a full glass of poison, nothing but poison. So we don't, with the fall, we are put into this state of total depravity. Everything we do is marred all the way through by sin,
mm-hmm.
but not completely. We still retain our image bearer status.
Absolutely. Yep.
God is still able to bring about good things through us even before we would be justified.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I would say the difference between a total depravity and an utter depravity.
Sure. And we can even, we know that there's a huge debate within the church if we talk about Calvinism and the 5 points of Calvinism, mm-hmm. but total depravity to me seems like, if we're going to pick someone that's should be plainly clear to everybody who reads Scripture, you know, that we are tainted with sin. That, and because of that, we are dead in our transgressions and our sins, as it says in Ephesians 2:1. Ephesians 2:3, that by that we are, by that nature, we're objects of God's wrath. You know, and that's because we are totally depraved. And we're not trying to tell you that you're just a worthless person, that the value's there. I mean, you know, we are image of God, but unfortunately, because of the fall, we are tainted with sin. It's almost like, so as I think about even the let's talk about the flood for a second. We're going on all these rabbit trails. Yeah. That's all right. That's why I love talking with you. But, you know, why is a covenant still necessary? God wipes out the world because of sin, saves Noah, but there's still need for a covenant for between them. And if God's basically starting all over here with Noah and all them, why is a covenant necessary? It's because even Noah, who had faith in God and is counted as his righteousness, was still marked by sin. You know, for example, if I would take a Sharpie and I would write on the back of my hand with it, and then I would take a shower and get clean, coming out, I'm still going to have that mark on my hand. It's still there. So even though my body is clean, the mark of the Sharpie is still there. You know, same thing with sin, that we are marked by sin. You know, and the only thing that can get that off is the blood of Christ. And when we talk about justification, we're being declared righteous by God's blood. I think that's absolutely incredible. But I think that, Brad, when we talk that sometimes people, we have a backwards view of humanity, that we are generally good and bad things happen to good people. Rather, the biblical view is we are totally depraved in the fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that goes back to, because that's the first thing people will say when you you talk about that, you know, we can't do anything good. And they'll say, well, you know, an atheist can still be moral.
Sure.
And that's where we would say, no, an atheist might do something that appears to be a good work.
Gives to charity.
Yeah, exactly. Saves a baby that crawls out into the street.
Right.
Don't stop doing that, atheist.
Right. You know, keep doing that. Yeah. Rescue all babies in the street, absolutely. Yeah.
Everything they would do would still be tainted by their own self-interest. So it's that glass of water that has the poison dropped into it.
Uh-huh.
And that continues on. So if you took... you poured some of that water into a different glass, that water is still going to be poisoned.
Right, still and corrupted.
So that's kind of the picture of, you know, Adam was this glass that was poisoned, mm-hmm. And that you're not going to be able to get clean water from this glass. Mm-hmm. That same water is getting poured out down through the ages into these different cups. So, you know, here we are, these cups that are, you know, what, 1,000 generations removed, mm-hmm. From Adam at this point.
Still poisoned.
Yeah, because you're never going, you have to have a you have to have something to counteract that poison, mm-hmm. And change it. And the only thing that does that is the work of the blood of Christ.
Absolutely, it's the only thing. And I think that's important as we're talking about total depravity in our sin and Christ's righteousness, that when we talk about justification, it's important to note that we are being declared righteous. We are not made righteous. As far as we are declared righteous because of Christ, we're in the courtroom, and because of his blood, through grace and faith alone, we are declared righteous. Unfortunately, you and I are still totally depraved even after justification, you know, and we'll talk about sanctification the next time, as there's that journey from being sanctified and made more into the likeness and image of Christ to one day we're glorified with him. But for the sake of justification, it's important to note that we are declared righteous because of Christ, not made righteous in ourselves.
Yeah, and I would agree. And I would say it is important to say that you cannot lose that declaration either.
Sure, absolutely.
And I think that's very apparent in, you know, the end of Romans 8, mm-hmm. who shall bring a charge against God's elect.
Right.
If that was something you could lose, there would be charges that could be brought against them. I think there you're getting to the core of the main issue of the Reformation at that point, is how are we saved? Mm-hmm. And so the best example, I think Martin Luther did it really well, where he talked about we are like, Luther was never one for social niceties, shall we say.
He says it like it is, yeah. We're merely just repeating his words, right?
Yeah.
Don't kill the messenger.
He was also talking to farmers, which, is likely there's some farmers in our audience, too.
Right,
was saying that human beings are like big piles of dung.
Right.
And that when you are justified, it's like he drew the picture of a snowfall that completely covers that pile of dung, mm-hmm. in a fresh, white, clean snow. Mm-hmm. And that's it's that imputation from the snow that covers over the stench and the putrescence,
right.
Of the dung.
Right.
And so this is where the fundamental issue of the Reformation was. Is that the Roman Catholic view at the time would not agree with that. They do not agree with the imputation, mm-hmm. Of Christ, Christ's righteousness. They would say that once you are, they would start with a baptismal regeneration. Mm-hmm. Once you are baptized, you are changed from a pile of dung into a pile of gold.
Right.
Now, if you you commit a mortal sin, it'll turn you back into a pile of dung, mm-hmm. And that you have to do certain things, penance, confession, those types of things,
right.
to turn yourself back into a pile of gold. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how you live, how you lived your entire life. It doesn't matter if you placed your trust in Jesus, mm-hmm. Been a faithful follower for many, many years. Mm-hmm. You commit one mortal sin and then hit by a truck right after that before you can confess, you're going to hell,
yeah.
at that point. They would also say that you can have the smaller sins, they would say, a venial,
right.
sin,
mm-hmm.
Which are more like scuff marks.
On the gold.
On the gold. Uh-huh. They would say that there is something called a treasury of merit. So the idea that Christ's blood, one drop was enough to save the entire world, and all that extra blood is there to, so that you can continue to draw from it like a bank account. So, mm-hmm. every time your gold gets scuffed, you whether by penance or indulgences, you can reach into that treasury of merit and wash your gold back off, mm-hmm. again. And so that's a fundamental, they can see why this would have been such a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's a fundamental difference in how people are saved.
Absolutely. And it's not even one that you can concede to allow, as far as churches and Christians that follow the Bible, there's no room for that kind of theology. Once we are justified through Christ, it is forever, because it's not you and I's work. It is the work of Christ. And that's forever. And nowhere in Scripture do I see a drop of blood and then a reserve for other sins. His blood was poured out for the salvation of all of those who will come to faith.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And work-based, think about that. I mean, if I would take up that heresy, mm-hmm. What a stressful and worrisome way to live.
Yeah. It's an easy one to fall into, though, because we as human beings want to think that we are able to do it.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, if you talk with a Roman Catholic, the first thing they'll tell you right away, oh no, we don't believe in works-based salvation. We believe you're saved by grace. Mm-hmm. They do. Mm-hmm. They believe that you have to have the grace of God to be saved.
Uh-huh.
What they don't believe in is the sufficiency. They don't believe that you are. It is solely by the grace of God that you are saved. It is by the grace of God with these other things that you do. It's grace plus works.
Sure. Grace plus works. And we obviously can go to Ephesians 2 and very clearly show how it's not by works.
Yeah.
Grace through faith. And we've got no reason to boast, not because of us. So, we talk about Catholicism. I think another one that you have to watch out for, and we talked about this last week as you led our discipleship class, is universalism,
mm-hmm.
Which would be another one that would perhaps draw people away from the true doctrine of justification.
Yes.
Which is something we have to be careful about. And again, not all will be saved. I mean, that's the message of the Scripture, and should drive us to witness. It should drive us to be sharing God's word. Now, Christ's blood is absolutely sufficient to save every soul. that has ever lived and that will live. It is not a question of sufficiency, but the truth is it that not all will be justified. And that's where universalism splits off and goes to a religion that says all will be saved.
Yes. Yeah. I thought we had a really good discussion in our discipleship class, and I kind of gave him homework where I set up what's called a syllogism, which is kind of mm-hmm. your basic logic. If A equals B and C equals B, then A
equals C.
Yeah. And so, the example I used was, okay, if a bachelor is somebody who is not married, Brad is married, therefore Brad is not a bachelor.
Right.
And so we kind of used it as a way to help when you're arguing with somebody or talking with somebody, not arguing necessarily, mm-hmm. You're talking with somebody that you know has come to a wrong conclusion, but you're not quite sure how they got there. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to, it's kind of like when you write out your long division. It's an easy way to write that out and mm-hmm. and see where it is you're differing.
Right.
And so that was the homework I gave him was the proof of the universalist is God wants every single person to be saved. God, by his nature, is omnipotent and can do anything he wants. Therefore, every single person will be saved.
Will be saved, right?
And so, I hope that's probably how to answer that is probably a topic for a whole another
right.
thing.
Right,
that would be another couple hours. I hope to get them thinking there. But no, kind of going back, you can save yourself by doing works.
Yeah.
We would say that falls off on one side, as well as you don't have to, you have no responsibility. Like you started off saying, can we continue to sin that grace may abound? By no means.
Absolutely. We have a responsibility, absolutely.
Yes, and that salvation, put beautifully, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins.
That's amazing.
I would say you have to make sure you don't fall off on either end of the path.
Uh-huh, absolutely. I think you're exactly right. And I think we've talked about the Reformation, and Calvin said this as we talk about work-based faith, and that man is not made righteous in justification, but is accepted as righteous, not on the account of his own righteousness, but on the account of the righteousness of Christ located outside of man. And I think it's very important that we talk about the justification is located outside of man. Again,
yes.
Nothing you and I can do. It's
yes.
All of Christ alone.
Yeah, I like the Jonathan Edwards quote. You contribute nothing to your salvation but the sin that made it necessary.
The sin that made it necessary.
Yeah.
Preaching in Dodge City, I started out with the statement that, yes, we contribute to our salvation. That's where I started. And you should have seen the faces. They sunk, right? They're thinking, okay, we're getting a heresy here. We're going to have to deal with this guy.
Yeah.
And then straight into the Jonathan Edwards quote. Here's our contribution to salvation. The sin that made it necessary. So I got a few giggles.
It wasn't potluck day, hopefully, so they started throwing stuff at you.
It wasn't potluck day. That was the one day out of the year that it wasn't potluck, right? Southern Baptist, potluck.
Smart thinking not to do it on potluck day.
Have mashed taters coming out my face.
Yeah, you got a green bean casserole to the schnoz. So.
But yeah, that's the thing. If you want to throw someone off for just a moment, tell them that we do contribute to our salvation, but you better be following it up with the sin that made it necessary. Absolutely. Anything else on justification? I want to spend a little time in the end. What does this mean for Christians and believers to be justified? I want to use the last part of the session to draw them into worship and love. But is there anything else that you would want to talk about as far as justification in itself?
I think we've covered it pretty well.
We have.
The notes in the outline we had, I think we've got them.
Good. Yeah. Absolutely.
Justification is something that God does for us that takes us from a guilty stance before God and into an innocent, and that's done when we put on the blood of Christ. I would emphasize that justification is an all at once.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Justification is boom, you are
done.
Justified.
Done.
And that's going to be different than when we talk about sanctification in
yes.
the future.
Right, which is lifelong.
Exactly.
It's yeah. lifelong. Absolutely. Justification. I mean, that gavel is, he bangs that gavel. You are justified, and that's the yeah. end.
And I think it's, I have all these great verses memorized. I never have the address. I always had a tough time with that. So when it talks about us already being seated in the heavenly places, I think it's in Hebrews.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's that picture of justification. You know, those who are, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God.
That's incredible.
It is, yeah, it is done. Tetelestai.
Tetelestai. That's so amazing. It is finished. And I just, for a moment, let's picture we're in the courtroom. We're standing before the judge. Mm-hmm. The evidence is overwhelming. We are guilty. We are sinners. The evidence is there. There is no reason to think otherwise until the blood of Jesus Christ comes in. And so where we should be guilty, we're declared innocent because of Christ. I mean, that just blows me away.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the thing that popped into my mind was, I was pretty young when this happened, but I think most of our listeners would remember the O.J. Simpson trial.
Uh-huh, yeah.
They still show this clip of when he tried putting on that glove, mm-hmm. and the courtroom just gasps because it doesn't fit.
Right.
And so, as dramatic as that was, you know, you think about us sitting in the courtroom of eternity, every sin you've ever committed, Satan's trying to lay it out there to
absolutely presenting that evidence.
Yeah, Christ, our lawyer, walks over,
yep.
puts the blood washed linens of his righteousness over us,
uh-huh.
And the courtroom will gasp.
They'll gasp
even more so than when OJ tried to put on that glove, because now Satan cannot bring a charge, mm-hmm. And neither can anyone else.
That's absolutely correct. Listeners, I hope this changes your heart. It just moves you to worship. I know for Brad and I, it just floors us, doesn't it, as we think about who we are and all the time we just don't get things right. But praise be to God, you and I have been justified, and nothing changes that. And we're going to talk in sanctification that that is a lifelong process. But for here in this moment, those by grace through faith have been saved, you are saved. And nothing can change that.
Absolutely.
Nothing in the world. And that's just absolutely incredible. Yeah. Man, that's good stuff.
Yeah. It's why Ephesians 2:8-9, I think, is the very first verse you learn in the Awanas. So.
Yeah, and it's a great one.
Yeah.
To know that it's all God, you know. And last question for you. God looks at us, and through justification, as we stand before the Father, what does he see?
He sees if you have been justified, mm-hmm. When you take on that that blood-washed linen, you're wearing the righteousness of Christ. That's all he sees. He
does
not. He does not see the sin, the rebellion anymore. It's only the righteousness of Christ, and just as we said, a colossally, cosmically, monumentally unfair exchange, one that I thank God that I will have the privilege of singing his praises and thanking him for the rest of eternity.
Absolutely. And is eternity enough time?
It's not, but I've all got. It's all got.
So we yeah. got. But even that.
If there was more, then it would still be. He would need that too.
Right. So. Absolutely. That's incredible.
Soli Deo Gloria.
Absolutely. All for God's glory. That's amazing. Our challenge for you guys. We try to record an episode every 2 weeks. Read the whole book of Romans. That's our challenge for you. Can you real quick just walk us through a little bit of the progression of Romans and why we want them to read Romans as a whole when we're talking about justification?
Yeah, because we talked about this a little bit before we came on of, okay, well, where do we take people? And it's like, okay, you know, Romans 8 is pretty good because it's got the golden chain of salvation.
Right.
And it's like, oh, but yeah, but you know, you've got a lot. It talks a lot about it through, 3, 4, and 5. Oh, but it kind of starts talking about starts talking about it here at in 2. But if you're going to read 2, you kind of need to read 1 too.
Right.
So, I mean, really, the book of Romans is an apologetics book. Mm-hmm. It is Paul explaining how salvation works. Mm-hmm. It's the nuts and bolts of salvation.
Yeah.
If you talk to most evangelists or street preachers, where would they direct people to? When you're a new Christian, where do you go to learn about what you should be doing, what Christianity is? They'll normally pick one of the Gospels. I think John tends to be a favorite.
John, yep.
And Romans. Those two together are normally the ones they will say. And so, if you're really wanting to understand justification, read through the book of Romans and look at every time it says that justification there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice there's never any... there's never anything of, hey, you as a human, you added to this. Mm-hmm. You were, because you did this good thing, you were justified.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, this is a gift of God. This is something he does for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's neat to watch that progression starting in Romans 1, where it talks about, we talked about the total depravity where you can't do anything good, that nobody's going to be without excuse. Everybody has a knowledge of God and they're suppressing it.
Yeah.
And then Paul going on to answer these theoretical objectors. Well, how can anybody be saved then? Christ has brought this here. Well, if this is true, why are so many of the Jews rejecting the Messiah? That's this whole book is Paul working through salvation, mm-hmm. and answering these theoretical objectors along the way.
Right. It's a great book.
And I think its placement is perfect as we see the Gospels, you see the life of Jesus Christ, and then you get to Romans, and because of what we've read in the Gospels, what we know from the life of Christ, it brings us to the doctrine of salvation that is all the way through the book of Romans. So, and obviously all the books are riddled with that, but Romans is a good place to start. I did want to read, Brad mentioned it, Romans 8, 31 through 33. This is a great place for us to sign off. Any last things, Brad, before I read this?
Nothing I can think of right this second. I'm sure I'll think of 10 more tonight.
Oh, we will. Yeah, when we're laying in bed. We should have said this.
Yeah.
That's how it always works. But
yeah.
Next time, we're going to have imputation. Is that what we're going to go with next? Or sanctification.
Yeah, you're the boss.
One of those.
You're the boss here, champ.
We'll get there.
I am the peon that you graciously allowed to join you in your kingdom today.
Thank you, peasant. It'll be good. But I'm going to have Dr. Brad with me these next couple times as we walk through the whole story of salvation. Been good having you. This is a little tidbit of what we talk about at Chili's. So if you want to come join us at Chili's, you'll find us at noon. Once or twice, maybe.
Yeah.
during the week. Sometimes Chipotle.
Every now and again. Yeah.
And we hit a red lobster.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was. Because I just found out that it's your favorite, but you wouldn't tell me for the last several months. So.
And we'll go to Chili's until the 3 for 10 is over, and then we'll find something else, right?
Exactly.
All right, Romans 8, 31 through 33. We want to leave this with you. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies.
Anytime there's multiple places you're just gonna read a verse in the Bible and you're just like, geez, how do you say it any better than that?
Right.
What do you add to that? And the answer is nothing.
Absolutely nothing. We let the scripture speak for itself, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brad's been good having you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. If you don't get too many angry letters, then I guess I'll be with you next time.
I think you're good, man. So it'll be about 2 weeks. We'll keep this going on this salvation. If you guys have questions, please email us. You can email me at tball@fsbcsalina.com. If you have any thoughts, you can also share it on this podcast platform. But if there's anything that you need us to expand on or explain, we'd love to do that if you have any questions. But go to Romans, read through. Let's worship God. Let's love him. And it's been good being with you guys. So this is Tyler and Brad signing off. Blessings. On behalf of First Southern Baptist Church Salina, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. If you have any questions, if you have any prayer requests, or you want to know more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would love to have you contact us. You can email me at tball@fsbcsalina.com. And if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to join us on Sunday mornings. Our Sunday school is at 9 a.m. and our worship service is at 10:30 a.m. If you want to know more about the church, you can visit us at our website at www.fsbcsalina.com. Again, thanks for joining us today, where we desire to know Christ and to make Him known. Blessings.